Thank you, Dorothy. Please stand as you are able as we prepare ourselves with the call to worship. We who are many are called to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, one in three, three in one, now and forever. Let us stand as we are able and lift our voices to God using the psalmist's words, I give thanks to you with all my heart, Lord. I sing your praise before all other gods. Let all the earth's rulers give thanks to you, Lord, when they hear what you say. Let them sing about the Lord's ways, because the Lord's glory is so great. Your faithful love lasts forever, Lord. Please remain standing and join us in singing hymn number 464, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Confident in this ever-gracious, never-failing help, let us stand before the Lord as we are able, confessing our sin and seeking forgiveness. Forgiving God, we confess that we are conformed to this world. We conform to this world's frantic pace, too hectic to notice all the blessings you provide. We conform to this world's reckless waste, exploiting what you entrust to our care. We conform to this world's shallow values, oblivious to the giftedness of people different from us. We conform to this world's impatient attitudes, preferring the latest instead of the lasting. Forgive our conformity and transform us, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. We trust we are forgiven and breathe in peace. Thanks be to God. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please share this peace with everyone you meet, beginning with those around you now. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we know you guided our ancestors who, like us, were your children. You continue to lead us now, and we know that you will lead your children in the future. Help us to not be stubborn in our ways or close our ears to you, but to open our hearts and minds so that we may truly listen for what you have to say to us, to remember what you have done for us, to remain faithful to you, and to be hopeful in you. May these words today from Psalm 78 be a guiding light for us as we journey through our daily lives. Amen. Today's lesson comes from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our ancestors to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. That was beautiful. What a pleasure it is to be here with you this morning. I bring you greetings from Cambridge Presbyterians. We are a new church, Unity and First Church in June officially merged. So we are now the Cambridge Presbyterians, and I bring you greetings. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Hear now the New Testament reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Jesus traveled through the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him to wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Getting back to school in August and September is a common shift in rhythm for most of us, especially those of us who have families. The school year often also affects church programming. It's a natural time to deepen existing ministries, launch new groups, start new programs, and more. I know that I was with your discipleship group last fall several times when Pastor Deb was on vacation, and that was a pleasure to be with them. I imagine you're starting new groups too as September starts and the new school year. Our calendars seem to be based on the academic school year. So it seems appropriate, as we think about the start of another academic year, for us to think about going back to school with Jesus. Early in his ministry, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. We're just like the young students in school. If we have the right teacher, it makes all the difference in the world. Amen? So, let's go back to school with the master teacher, Jesus. Who recognized Jesus as the master teacher? We read in John 1, verses 35 to 38, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So very early in his ministry, Jesus' followers were calling him rabbi or teacher. They acknowledged his authority. Then, in Mark 10, we read about a man of great wealth, a stranger. And Jesus started on his way. A man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Strangers started referring to Jesus as teacher. And even his enemies called him teacher, as we read in Luke 20. So the spies questioned him, 'Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth.' And in John 13, we read that Jesus himself recognized himself as a teacher. John 13:12, When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, I have washed your feet. You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Do these things? What does Jesus teach us to do? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us his lesson plan. It's to establish goals and objectives for us in our daily living. Jesus was defining what he expected of those who would be his disciples or followers to do. The Sermon on the Mount can be found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. So let's go to today's scripture from Matthew, which is a little bit before the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 4:23, it shows how Jesus taught by the word. Jesus traveled through the region of Galilee, teaching in synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. We know that synagogues were schoolhouses for the Jewish people. They came to learn the word of God, the book, the Bible. Our Sunday services are largely based on the synagogue service. And Jesus took his turn to lead as he read in the synagogue from the prophets. Jesus shared the good news of salvation. What his followers came to understand was that Jesus was the messenger and the means to salvation. We know that teaching the word of God is an important task. We also know that learning and sharing the truth of Christ is what we're called to do. Teaching the ways of God is important, but living them is also important. Jesus demonstrated or lived what he taught. Not only did Jesus teach the word of God, Jesus taught by deed too. Going back to our scripture for today in verse 24, news about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. I heard someone once say, "I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Can you imagine the impact that it had in the time that Jesus walked on the earth for people to see him healing? Jesus taught his followers, and that includes us, that we too can do great miraculous things. The way we live our lives shows who we are. Have you heard this before? The mediocre teacher tells. The good teacher explains. The superior teacher demonstrates. The great teacher inspires. Jesus was an inspiring teacher, and as a result, crowds gathered around him everywhere. Matthew 4:25, large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. People came from all over wanting to hear what he preached, how he healed, and to learn what it meant to follow Jesus. He taught them just what that would entail. Being a Christian is not about right thinking. It's about right living. Our Christian tradition combines knowledge of God with virtue, goodness, respect, devotion, piety, holiness, and more. Gaining knowledge about God is a necessary tool to develop our Christ-like character, to promote holiness, and for this reason alone, we must become students and follow the master teacher. and follow the master teacher's teachings. The Sermon on the Mount, as I mentioned before, provides guidelines and gives us the template to live by. I challenge you to go home and sometime this week read those chapters in Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and see what Jesus' lesson plan and guidance and directions and instructions are for us. Jesus was no ordinary teacher. Matthew tells us when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Jesus taught us what it takes to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Are we willing to live and learn accordingly? Will you join with me in putting on our new school clothes and go back to school with Jesus, the master teacher? Amen. Please pray with me as we express our appreciation and challenge to our students, teachers, and leaders at the beginning of a new school year. Dear God, I pray for teachers, educators, school administrators as they begin the new school year. Thank you for the men and women who have dedicated their careers to teaching and leading. I pray that the classroom and school buildings can be a place where love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control flourish. I pray for teachers who have to manage and engage online learners. May they have energy, creativity, and abundance of compassion. Protect their mental and physical health as they work hard to create safe spaces of learning. Lord, I pray for students and learners. Give them minds that are eager to learn. Give them courage to ask good questions, confidence to take risks, and the discipline to focus and study. I pray for quality friendships and safety in and out of the classroom. I pray for the kids who struggle with anxiety and fear. May they feel your perfect love, surround them, and give them the courage to get through each day. I pray that learning is engaging, valuable, and exciting. Give our students focus and direction as they prepare for what lies ahead. God, our perfect parent, I pray for parents and caregivers of the students. May they have clear minds to juggle busy schedules of work, home, and school. Release them from fear and anxiety as they send their kids off to learn, and give them grace and wisdom. I pray a special blessing upon those parents and caregivers who have students with special needs. Give them guidance as they advocate for their children. And I pray that their homes are safe, safe places of love and acceptance, so that the children may know their worth and value. All this I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you please stand with me and join in singing hymn number 339, Be Thou My Vision.
Spirit, is it thy Lord?
please join me in reciting the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on the laminated papers in your pew racks. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Will you join with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Oh, most gracious God, we thank you for this people that gather here this morning. Pray that you would be with each and every one in this sanctuary, those who are here in presence and in spirit. Thank you that you have brought us here safely this morning. Ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to the love around us. And may we hear what it is that you want us to hear, and let all else drop off that is not true and from you. Thank you for those who could not be with us this morning. I especially lift up Dave and Elva Frick, as Dave has been in the hospital. We pray that your hands would be on him, your healing love surround him. May he quickly be healed and to be returned home. Be with the family that surrounds him and give them strength as Dave has been ill. Thank you for the new ministries that are starting here, the ongoing ministries. Thank you for Pastor Deb. May she enjoy her time away and find relaxation and peace in your love. Thank you for those others in our communities here in Zanesville and the surrounding communities who are coming to worship this morning. Be with them, and may they learn what it is that you have to teach them. We ask that you would guide us and lead us and be with us and hear us now as we say the words that Jesus, the master teacher, taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn number 525, Here I Am, Lord.
Go now in the peace of God, knowing that God is with you today, tomorrow, and always. May we be blessed as we go out into the world preaching the good news. Amen.
This week and next, I am still continuing to sing Shalom Chaverim, which is hymn number 537, if you would like to join me. I'll sing it in Hebrew first and then in English. Shalom Chaverim, Shalom Chaverot, Shalom, Shalom. Shalom, shalom. Farewell, good friends. Farewell, good friends. Shalom, shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again. Shalom, shalom.
Thank you, Dorothy.